All right, welcome everybody to another Capes and Scales podcast. With me today, I've got Dr. Lawrence Zirconium. How are you, Lawrence?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited. You know, all the wrestling gods are coming together to give a great wrestling event here in Glassboro, New Jersey, and I can't wait to tell you about it.
Yes, I can't wait to hear about it. I have seen these posters everywhere. You have a great blanketing campaign going on here.
Yeah, great blanketing campaign. I'm the one walking everywhere, putting them all up.
Well, you're doing a great job. I have seen them all over, multiple towns. Everybody's excited for Dog Pro Wrestling. You have King of the Monsters as your next event, correct, on May 25th?
Yes, King of the Monsters, named after the legendary Godzilla and his entourage of other kaiju. There's going to be a lot of big monsters going one-on-one at the MexFit Sports Center on May 25th.
Very cool. Now, you have a stacked card. You have at least 9 confirmed matches, and who knows what surprise is in store. What are you looking forward to the most? What do you, like, you just cannot wait to see?
It's a love-hate relationship, but I love putting together wrestling cards. Mm-hmm. I put way too much thought into plotting each individual match to give every wrestling fan that comes to a dog event they're more than their money's worth, but also to get so each thing has the potential to be something special and unique. So every one of those matches has been designed that way to really do give a lot. That said, one of the double main events between Breaker Morant and Stephen Gibke, that one has me extremely excited. Breaker Morant is an Australian-born, South Philly-raised, amazing, experienced individual in the professional wrestling business. He's been around for some time, but he's just now hitting his peak, and he was always good, but now he's gone from beyond good to being a champion. And he's bringing on the best performances and the best action and the best wrestling skills that he's had in his entire career. And he's taking on a guy who's basically a younger, faster version of himself.
Nice.
Yeah, Stephen Gibke, former one half of the dog tag team champions of Down Boys. They held that distinction for 2 different occasions. He was for a longest time a fan favorite. And then all of a sudden, a recent change of attitude, and he's seen a lot of other promotions, championship gold coming to his collection. He has really impressed everybody. He's on the radar for every company, venture company in the world right now. They're all, they do have an eye on him. And I know for a fact, him versus Breaker Morant, it should be absolutely amazing. Again, imagine wrestling a mirror universe version of yourself who's also a little bit younger, a little bit faster, maybe not as experienced, especially in championship opportunities, but is basically like wrestling yourself and having to come up with a unique strategy to counteract that.
That sounds exciting. I love those kind of matches where, you know, you want your face champion, you want your strong, you know, your fan favorite champion against something so unique to him. It's going to be a slug. Do you think it's a slugfest? Do you think it's a slugfest, or are they just going to put on a clinic?
I think it's going to be a clinic. Honestly, they're both excellent wrestlers. Breaker is probably at the king fisticuffs would have the advantage, being the South Philly raised individual. He's kind of like the embodiment of everything that if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, if you're a Philadelphia Flyers fan, if you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan, if you're a Sixers fan, even though that one shot did break a lot of hearts.
Yes.
that is pretty much the embodiment of Breaker Morant. And just seeing him against Steve Gibke, again, I really am excited about that. I guess it's, since this is a comic book-oriented podcast, it's kind of like seeing Superman versus a mirror universe version, or maybe even Spock versus a mirror universe version, if you want to go back to the origin. It's just something that's so special to see two people so strong and so powerful and so fast, so talented, wrestling against each other.
Now, I'm looking at your promo materials here. You have Kyle Payne versus Chuck Payne, and they look like they're going to eat each other alive.
Imagine being able to punch your brother in the face and getting away with it. I'm sure your mom and dad would have not been happy when you were younger, but these two get to do it inside the ring. Now, they fight all the time. They're brothers. I think they get along about as much as they don't get along. And honestly, Kyle Payne, in my opinion, went over the line and joined PTS, which someone will talk about in a little bit, and it cost his brother and his brother. It's jealousy. That's really what it is. Kyle Payne is the big brother, but Chuck Payne, the little brother, he's taller. He may be a little by age, but he's taller, and he's bigger, and he might even be a little bit stronger. And he's more popular, and he gets more opportunities. And I don't think Kyle likes that. I think he's jealous, and I think he's taking it on his little brother. And it's a family. Honestly, it's a family situation. It probably shouldn't be involved in front of the wrestling ring, in front of the crowd, but I'm kind of glad it is because personal issues definitely drive the fans' interaction and their enjoyment, and this is a personal issue between two brothers. And think about it, too. These guys are huge. Chuck Payne's nickname is Thor, and he's like 6'6", and like 300 pounds, and he's more than Norse god strong. And Kyle Payne's not that much smaller, and probably, honestly, a little bit faster than his brother. But it's kind of like watching two Viking berserkers just go at each other.
So this is the real Viking experience, is what you're telling me.
Oh, yes, yes. It'll be like some kind of War Raiders or what are they called now, the War Kings? Or I don't know, they changed their name so many times.
I have no idea. They're always Rowan Hansen to me, so, you know.
Yeah.
So you have Casey Carlisle versus JL Cotto, correct?
Yeah, JL Cotto, she is a kickboxer. Ooh. She is a mixed martial artist, and she's a professional wrestler. She trained in New York, but she's really cut her teeth in the WXW promotion under Samu, the Wild Samoan. And Samu and the Samoan gang has taken a liking to her and definitely helped guide her career. They've kind of done that in the past for Casey Carlisle, too. Casey's former legitimate NWA World Women's Champion. There's not a lot of real women's championships that can say they're a world champion. Casey is. She held what I call the 37 and one half pounds, legendary pounds of leather and gold, because that thing was bigger than she was, the championship she held. But she defended it against everybody. She's been in the ring with, like, Kimberly, who used to be A.B. Lee in NXT. She's been in the ring with Jazz, former NWA World Women's Champion, and defeated her. She's defeated Mickie James. She's been in the ring with the biggest stars in professional wrestling up and down the card, and she's beaten them all. She currently holds 7 individual women's championships. She had a record of 8. She also currently holds a men's championship, but, you know, that just tells you how tough she is. So she is a top, top woman wrestler. You don't need an entire classic tournament named after a legend to say that she's a top wrestler. She is so. And they know that in the WWE. They know that in AEW. They know that in Ring of Honor. But she never gets the opportunities because she doesn't fit the normal mold of what they expect, what they want out of a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. She's just mean. She's just nasty. She is Jerry Martel with a little Cersei Lannister thrown in.
Oh, I love Cersei. Yeah. I love that combo. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, she is somebody you don't want to mess with. Whenever I'm putting out posters and they ask about Casey, I'm like, don't mess with Casey. She's the toughest one on the entire card. But I'll put my money on that one. But again, JL Cotto, an extremely talented wrestler based out of New York, and I don't know. I do very much know that Casey has her beaten experience, but JL cannot be underestimated. I also think because the next day Casey Carlisle is going for the NWA World Women's Championship again, I think she may be underestimating JL Cotto. That match is for the World Wrestling Grand Prix Women's Championship, a championship that Casey has held for over a year and has defended all over the country. If Casey's not careful, she will leave one belt lighter.
That's true, and styles make matches, so you have a kickboxing background that could really throw her off her game. So back to Casey for a second. I don't know if this is something she's allowed to do, but what if she took all these titles from different promotions and showed up with all the belts on her, kind of like Ultimo Dragon back in the day? Is that something she's allowed to do, or is that considered disrespectful?
It depends on the promotion and stuff like that. I had no issues with it if she wants to, but they're not on the line, so I think the president of the World Wrestling Grand Prix would rather have her just focus on the one that's actually, you know, that she's being booked to defend. But I was there at a dog wrestling event when she took the picture with 6 of those 8 championships she held. And that picture has been viral all around the internet right now. She is the female version of the Ultimo Dragon, one of the top women wrestlers. And there's a reason she holds that many championships. So Maybe one day, if you come to the dog event, maybe she'll bring some with her and you can get a picture with her on all of them.
Oh, I will definitely do that. That sounds like a great time. Are there a lot of photo ops at the Dog Pro Wrestling?
Oh, yeah. Dog Pro Wrestling, Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling, Gladiator, sell jerseys, number one wrestling promotion. We are very fan-friendly. We have people out during intermission and sometimes before getting chances to do pictures, to do autographs, to talk to the fans. The fans are the most important part of Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling Gladiators. It's why I do the event. Trust me, it's not the money. If it was more the money, I would probably have gave up a long time ago because the amount of work you put in for what you make is definitely much less than a minimum wage job, much less than a probably much less than even, say, like a job being a waiter without tips. So it is a job that doesn't give major financial benefits, but it definitely gives a lot of love. And the fans there at Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling Gladiators, they are the reason, again, that I am doing this. It's so nice to see the various people that I get to talk to and interact. And sometimes the only time I ever get to see them is at dog events, but each time it's very special. I love the cheers and the boos and how they talk about it and how they tell their friends and how they post pictures. It is such a gratifying experience. I want them to enjoy top to bottom, whether it's the opening match or the main event. I want them to enjoy everything about the card, including the things in between, like the music played in between and the opportunity. The last dog event we had was in December. We had Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus there.
Nice.
You know, it's something special. We always try to, especially for the children and the kids in there, we try to have at one time a lot of superheroes come in and interact with the kids. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to work out, but it was nice. I mean, I still try to constantly have things. We have Wiggle Wags Pet Care. They have brought a bunny to help promote their business, but the kids love just taking pictures and touching the bunny and holding the bunny. And we do things like have podcasts there so they can interact with the fans. And we have, I don't want to use the word local celebrities lightly, but we have a local celebrity that like to come, like this guy called himself the unfunniest funny guy, or is he the funniest unfunny guy? I'm not sure. He's kind of a local legend, an urban legend in Glassboro and the Pittman and that surrounding area. He comes to the events, and it's nice to interact with them. And it's fan sometimes, you know, he's up to his name. He is the unfunny funny guy or the funny unfunny guy. Again, I'm not sure how which way it works out, but a little bit of both. But the fans love that interaction with them because it's something different you don't get other places.
I love the variety. It seems like you've put so much into this. Now, there's one more match I definitely want to talk about that I have to talk about because this seems like the team that I would love. The old school Empire versus Unstable. Now, if you know me, I'm a very metal guy. You would think I'd be all over this Unstable, but no, Old School Empire appeals to Wrestling Tim, and I love everything about these guys. They look fantastic.
We'll start with Vinny the Fixer. Vinny the Fixer, being old school metal, he's a bassist in a band called Starkweather. He's also in a few other screamer metal, heavy metal, death metal, and various versions of bands out there. He's big in Europe. He's in the United States, he's known as a wrestler. In Europe, he's known for being the bassist in Starkweather, especially in Germany. And he's kind of the straight man of the group. He's old school. He's your Tully Blanchard. He's mean. He's grouchy. He's cantankerous, but he's tough, and he's extremely entertaining still. And then you got his tag team partner, Patch. Patch is what happens if you take the Indominus Rex and inject some of the personality of Robin Williams.
Oh, boy.
He definitely is not the straight man of the group. He is the insanity and the entertainment, and you don't know what Patch is going to do. I know for a fact Patch has no idea what he's doing or what he's going to do, but that doesn't stop him from being one of the toughest and baddest professional wrestlers. I once watched him chop a wrestler in the chest so hard that he left a handprint bruise on his back.
Ugh, brutal. All the blood vessels breaking and oof.
He hit him so hard in the chest, he left a bruise on his back.
Ugh.
As you can imagine, he is not somebody that is into the more sports entertainment variety of professional wrestling. He is a professional wrestler and a fighter and a brawler, and he just happens to be a little insane. Well, a lot, it seems.
Well, he sounds perfect for this area. I mean, I remember going to the old ECW arena and watching ECW shows and a lot of other local wrestling, but this area just loves that aggressive style.
Oh, yeah, they do. And Patch and Vinny the Fixer have a huge following behind them. They also have this weird, I don't understand it, but some of the female fans have this daddy thing for them. Whatever, you know, whatever brings you to the wrestling event, that's fine. But they're very, very entertaining and unstable. Oh, they're nuts, too. Dr. Carl Martin is their psychologist or psychiatrist, or I don't know, whatever he is. What if he got a degree? He got in, like, Caltech, or if he got it in, like East Zimbabwe University. But he is the mental capability of this team, and that also has me very, very, very frightened.
Yeah, no, that sounds concerning.
Putting the Joker in charge of Gotham's mental institution.
Ooh.
At the Arkham Asylum, yeah.
Ooh. Interesting. Well, that just sounds great. That sounds fantastic. I love tag wrestling. I've been really diving in, watching some old different tag teams. I don't know, something about it. I just always love tag team wrestling so much more, usually more, than your singles competitors. They haven't had on mainstream TV very good representation for a while. I mean, you can argue NXT, you can argue Ring of Honor, but just what is on most people's TV screens, it's tough.
See, unfortunately, it's a lost science. It's lost to the ages, it seems, but luckily there's a lot of independent wrestlers, especially Dangerous John Wrestling Gladiators, that tries to bring that science back to fruition. The tag team caliber opponents that Old School of Empire have faced. They defeated two-time former dog tag team champions, the Down Boys. They defeated former two-time dog tag team champion, the South Philly Finest. They defeated the Heavenly Bodies. They were the newest version. I think I have the number right, of the Heavenly Bodies, but they were featured on Impact Wrestling, an extremely talented wrestler. They've defeated current tag team who's working with Ring of Honor and the Future of Honor called Primal Fear. They've defeated just everybody that's been in front of them, and Unstable, it may be their toughest challenge to date. And what I love is, unfortunately, the new breed failed in their time travel experiment to bring back tag team wrestling when they went back to 1987 in the Crockett Cup to try to save tag team wrestling. But hopefully we find another DeLorean or Time Machine or Police Box or something, TARDIS, to try to find somebody else to bring tag team wrestling back and save tag team wrestling, because it's something we really do need in 2019.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I agree with you that going to indie shows and supporting indie is the way to see good tag team action, and or Japan or Mexico, but I want the American style as well, and I would love to see it further represented. So now let me ask you this: the state of pro wrestling, we have an interesting kind of scenario going on. We have WWE losing ratings all the time, losing people. People are upset. We have AEW setting the world on fire without really doing much of anything at all yet. What are your feelings on this? Is going to be, I feel, a super interesting time for wrestling, and I feel like it will affect indie wrestling going forward. So how do you feel about that?
Well, it definitely affects indie wrestling. A lot of talent is being taken off the market and not available right now. But it also leaves a lot of opportunities for people who never may have gotten the spotlight on them previously to be able to show what they have and maybe even give something new. I'm going to give you my honest opinion, and it's not going to be popular. I don't believe we need more wrestling promotions. What I believe we need is more quality wrestling promotions.
Okay.
And if I had it in my way, we should definitely have three top major league wrestling promotions like back in the vast majority of the history of this business. There should, especially in the television time, we need something. It's not just the monopoly that the WWE is. I would love the WWE to be incredibly successful in their events too, and their television programs to be very entertaining in the top level and to elevate the wrestling business. I would love to see the same thing for AEW, even though I have a feeling it's going to be more sports entertainment and less professional wrestling, or more what they like to call the ironic modern style of wrestling instead of what I kind of more appreciate and grow up with and enjoy. And I wish, honestly, if possible, the NWA could somehow conglomerate with the Ring of Honor, the Impact Wrestling, all the wrestling promotions out there with any kind of power notoriety, kind of maybe form a viable third option, at least hopefully around the NWA title and its lineage. I think if, say, that did such thing happen, if there was a billionaire that could buy Sinclair Broadcasting and buy Anthem and buy Billy Corgan's NWA and or somehow get them involved and run a promotion based around the most prestigious World Heavyweight Championship ever and the grandest. I think if we had all that and AEW and a very strong WWE, the wrestling landscape in general would be a much stronger, healthier, and we would have a lot better in everything in the business. There was a huge popularity in the 90s for the Attitude ECW, but it was self-destructive because it was burning the candle at four ends, not even at both ends, in what it can do and what they put out there. And it's going to take a long time, in my opinion, for it to truly recover from all of everything that was done at the time and overloading. But it also shows a strong example that if you have multiple strong wrestling promotions out there, how the business and the sport can grow.
Absolutely. And I was always surprised ECW reached those levels because I was following them more or less from the beginning and I really enjoyed them. But I was really worried the whole time, especially late 90s into 2000. I was just like, oh man, this is too much. I don't understand how they can even compete or be in the discussion. It just seemed wild to me. I like what you're suggesting. I don't know how to go about it, but I know there are good signs. I know people are loving Nick Aldis. His match with Marty Scurll is like the talk of the internet, and that is fantastic for wrestling in general. But to your point, I don't want to lose matches like that because everyone's snapped up by these contracts. I like the Impact model of you're allowed to work other places, you just don't do TV. And I think that's the kind of thing we do need. I think some sort of conglomeration between Impact and Ring of Honor would be good. I feel like Ring of Honor is a little hurt right now. They had so much talent get raided and then the start of AEW. But maybe combining with Impact, because Impact's been on a tear as of late as well.
I am going to disagree, and I want to use historical context to do so.
Okay.
The fall of Japanese pro wrestling actually happened when many of the biggest stars went from being single parts of a company to being free agents working for multiple companies. At the time, there was three major companies in Japan. There was New Japan, which was the top. There was All Japan, which was moving down the hierarchy. And there was Pro Wrestling Noah, which was moving up in the ladder. But they were all doing very well, and they had their own stars. The problem, in my opinion, is when the Japanese landscape changed and you started seeing the Muchas and the Chonos and the Sasakis and the Tenrus and the bigger stars working in multiple companies against multiple different people, it was amazing and everything at first, but everybody got lost in the shuffle that wasn't moving around, and the big stars started being less opportunities for other stars to truly, truly make a name for themselves. And because of that, there was less bigger stars. They were local grown and homegrown, and if they did make their way out, they started doing the similar formula where they started wrestling in multiple places. And in the long term, I think it hurt the Japanese pro wrestling scene. When all reality, there's New Japan, and that's it. I love watching All Japan Pro Wrestling. In my opinion, it's the best Japanese wrestling promotion, wrestling-wise, on that particular country, on those three islands. But they're nowhere near the level that they were even at their lowest when Baba and his wife were in control and stuff like that. And again, it's a shame because most people have no idea what they even are, they're even still around, and they put on such an amazing product that most nobody ever sees. But they're not in anywhere near the level that the Japanese promotion New Japan Pro Wrestling is. They're probably right now in association with maybe Impact Wrestling is right at this moment to what the WWE is at this moment. And that happened, in my opinion, and multiple opinions, because of the watering down of the product and how and nothing became special, and they started not being able to create own talent, having to rely on the older talent.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I think we're going to wind it down here.
Okay.
And I want to end it talking about dog pro wrestling again. I wanted to know if you had any really fun stories that you wanted to talk about from past shows, any fun moments, any kind of just really just great times you had that you wanted to show as examples to get people to want to come out to the show, because it sounds like it's going to be a blast, and I want people to go, and people you have to go.
The Dangerous John Wrestling Gladiators don't run shows. We run events. Other wrestling companies run shows. We try to make it top to bottom an event for everybody to enjoy. That alone gives us a distinction that others don't and cannot claim. We are in all ages, appropriate family entertainment. We do not insult your intelligence. We do not give you things that you are going to be embarrassed to tell your friends about. I mean, there's a lot of pro wrestling fans out there that will enjoy some interesting stuff, but I don't think they would like it if their preacher or their girlfriend or their mom knew some of the stuff that they enjoy in the professional wrestling business. We do not give you that. We try to give you something that's enjoyable for everybody that can potentially come and give everybody something special and unique for their own enjoyment. But a lot of great things happen. I mean, again, we had Santa Claus at the event, and the unpredictable patch gave Mrs. Claus a lap dance, but we'll ignore that. we have excellent wrestling action. A lot of our guys who either started with us or have worked for us have made it to the WWE, have made it to Impact Wrestling, have made it to Ring of Honor, and are going to be featured in AEW and have in some of their previous ventures. So you can see the stars of tomorrow today. The Australian talent, JXT, coming in for this event, not even in the area very long, so it's going to be very hard to find somebody to experience, even see him on an event in this area. But he's somebody I guarantee that you'll see in one of the big companies very soon. There's a lot of talented wrestlers who have either been on the way to these bigger companies or have come from them and are now giving back in Dangerous John Wrestling Gladiators. I don't care if it's the emotional roller coaster when Greg Morant finally won the Dangerous John Wrestling Gladiators Championship from Dirty Money and how the fans went crazy, or if it's the unorthodox tactics of the old school Empire entertaining, including the last event, Patch coming down to the song Fireball and dancing his way to the ring, and then bringing the children in the ring later and dancing with them inside the ring, or if it's the hard-hitting action that you're going to see, like the WWGP Championship match between William Huckabee and Vicky Biggs, which is a personal situation, you're going to get something, at least one something in that amount of events that you're going to enjoy, and I put my money you're going to enjoy as much of all of it, as much, at least some, most of it, if not all of it. If you do not let me know, I'll refund your money to you.
That's fantastic, and I love that it's all ages friendly. I know there's a lot of deathmatch stuff in the area, so it's good to know you're not going to, in the middle of your good time, have, you know, blood everywhere in front of your kids. So
there's definitely a lot of that, and there's a lot of wrestling promotions using the exact same wrestlers that you can see just about anywhere, and wrestling against the same exact people you can see them against 20 or 30 times, either in the past or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we do with Dog is we have some local talent that is well recognized, but we try to mix them with talent that is not from this area that you don't see in other places. Put them in matches that you're not going to see in other places.
It sounds like the perfect formula. I thank you so much for being on the podcast, and you are welcome back anytime when you have another event. If you want to plug it, you just let me know, because I love pro wrestling.
If you come, make sure you bring a banner. Make sure you bring something to promote everything about you. Make sure you bring something to promote any comic shop in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling you're kind of friendly with at least one of them, if not multiple ones.
Everybody loves me, you know? What can I say? Well, thank you very much, Dr. Lawrence Zirconium, everybody. And make sure you head out to Dog Pro Wrestling, King of the Monsters, on May 25th. That's a big day for wrestling. Make sure you support our local faction. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.